My name is Pastor Bill Harmon, and I have the great joy of being married to my wife, Gail. She's here today. You may have seen her. Why don't you greet her for me, Gail? We've been married for 31 years. We met at Concordia in New York and have journeyed together. We have three sons. In the middle there is our son, Jack. Can you even see that over there? Well, good luck. Our son, Jack, he works at Walt Disney World. So he's happy all the time, and he works at Magic Kingdom. He's in guest relations there. There's a leadership track that he's on. And so the best part of it, as you might guess, is what? Free tickets, friends. Free tickets. It's great. And then to his left is our son, Max. He's the associate director of children's ministry at our church in Williamsburg, Virginia, where we live. Who's been to Williamsburg? Anyone? Yeah. Great. Good. More than my other session. It's great. For those of you who know, he was Carl. Anyone know that? So for those of you who know Carl from the last two gatherings, our son Max was the character Carl. And so he got a little shout out last night, if you noticed, but the wig was really wrong with dark hair. But so that's Max. And then our son Noah is to the right there, and he is a Yav. So he's down at the store. I guess there's a store. I haven't had a chance to be in there. He's over there, and he is a plumber. So he makes a lot of money, and he's very skilled. I don't know where he got the skill from, because Gail and I don't have that skill. But he's doing great work. He loves the Lord. And if you see him, tell him you said hi. Tell him I said hi, because I've only seen him once since I've been here. So, and we have a dog named Guy. And you can have him if you'd like to have him. Just raise your hand. We'll send him to you. Thank you. By the way, if you've been to my Cracking the Parental Code sessions, I'm sorry, the introduction is the same. But if you, when I walk the dog in my neighborhood, this happens all the time, people will say to me, oh, what a beautiful dog you have. And I say, oh, thank you. And they say, what's his name? And I said, oh, his name is Guy. And they always ask, oh, is he a boy or a girl? I'm like, his name is Guy. What do you think he is? That's what I say on the inside. On the outside, I say, oh, he's a boy, right? We live in Williamsburg, Virginia, where I had the privilege of serving as pastor for 15 years until I was elected the president of the Southeastern District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The Southeastern, yeah, I see some SEDs. We're wearing our shirts today. The Southeastern District is York, Pennsylvania, Maryland, Delaware, Washington, D.C., Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Bristol, Tennessee. It's a lot. Seven states in the District of Columbia. We have 213 churches, 27 schools, 59 early childhood preschools, as well as 8 RSOs. They're not on there. RSOs are like a recognized service organization. Doesn't matter. But that's what we do. And our mission and vision is connecting people with Jesus so that lives are transformed and God's kingdom grow. And we do that best with you and with all the other churches of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. So, come out to the Southeastern District. We'd love to see you. You're always welcome there. In fact, I'd love for you all to be considering whether God is calling you into church work. The church desperately needs pastors, deaconesses, teachers, principals, organists, directors of Christian education, and a whole host of other workers. We have over 500 vacancies in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, meaning 500 churches don't have pastors right now. And my guess is the number is equally high for those looking for associate pastors, for DCEs, and the like. I always say that if you think it's hard finding a pastor, try finding an associate pastor. If it's hard finding an associate pastor, try finding a DCE. And if you think it's hard finding a DCE, try finding a school teacher or principal. And if you think it's hard finding any of those, try finding an organist. By the way, everyone should go learn to play the organ. You'll have a career the rest of your life. Anyway, here is my encouragement to you. My encouragement to you is while you're here, visit all the university booths downstairs, visit Set Apart to Serve, And this I'd really love for you to do. Pray this prayer. Lord, if you're calling me to serve you in ministry, lead the way. You might be surprised. I can tell you, I didn't always think I'd be a pastor. And my guess is, who are other church workers here? Raise your hand if you're a church worker. My guess is some of them at one time said, not so sure. So prayerfully consider it. And if you'd like to talk more about it, I'm happy to talk to you about it. I know for sure that if God is leading you into church work, He's definitely leading you to the Southeastern District. That's one piece I really know, all right? Because why wouldn't you want to be in Baltimore? Come on, all right? So our time together today is from memes to mindfulness. Memes to mindfulness. And the concept here today is how do we shift into intentional ways of loving our neighbor. I want to preface this, and I'm going to say, you'll see it again in a minute, but this is not a session to bash social media or things like that. That's not my goal. My goal is to help us shift in some ways to once again being a people who can have a conversation with each other in a loving way. It seems to me, partially at times because of technology, not always, but partially, and partially because of the environment of our culture and society these days, meaning how we are so polarized that we're losing the ability to heed the Lord's command to truly understand what it means to love our neighbor. And if there's anyone in the world who should be the example of that, it's Christians. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit, but first we're going to meme that meme. Say it with me like a game show. Meme that meme. So here's what we're going to do. It's hard to find a meme that fits everybody, by the way. One, that's appropriate, right? Two, that's cultural to your context. So don't make fun of the memes that I chose, all right? Just go with it, all right? So I'm going to put a meme up there. I'd like you to turn to your neighbors, and you meme the meme. And then we'll choose a couple people who feel they have the best meme on the meme. You got what I'm saying? All right, here's your first one. All right, let's be real, right? Let's have an honest conversation, everybody. And that conversation is memes and posts, I have to fix that. And likes, quote unquote, right? Likes and TikToks. They can all be fun, but you all know they can also be mean. They can be bullish. They can be degrading. They can be insincere. They can be used for really good things, but it can also be used for some pretty bad things as well. Take a minute, turn to the person next to you, and share, if you have one, quick, an experience where a meme, post, like, TikTok didn't turn out the way you would hope, meaning you posted it, and it came back to you. Let's take a poll. The best way to take the poll is, everyone close your eyes. Don't worry. Raise your hand if you've ever been bullied online. Less than a quarter. Have you ever, raise your hand if you've ever been gossiped about through social media, where you were the topic. Okay, about a third. Raise your hand if you've been hurt by somebody else because of what they posted. This can be a text, an email, an Instagram, a TikTok, or whatever else you use. About a quarter. Raise your hand if you know someone who seems to use social media as a form of therapy. Hands down. Most of the room, by the way. You can open your eyes and look at me. So it's been interesting. About a third of you have been bullied in this straw poll. About a quarter of you have been gossiped about. about half of you have been hurt by someone, and all of you know people. I didn't ask if it was you, but all of you have you know someone who uses social media for what I call, should be air quotes, therapy. Meaning they put everything out there for everyone to see and to comment on. And there's kind of, they're kind of fed by it as well. What we're finding, friends, is that you're not alone. If you're in one of those categories, the truth is, statistically, you're not alone. Nearly 50% of U.S. teens have been harassed online, especially about appearance. Girls are especially targeted. So what that means is 50% of the teens that were polled, particularly of the girls, say their appearance was somehow made fun of or diminished online. 63% of young people experience major symptoms of anxiety or depression through not only social media, but just in general. That's a staggering number, 63%. Mental health struggles are more common than you think. And thankfully, we live in a culture and a society now that's aware of that, and there's help for it. Not even 20 years ago, that was not the case. Look at this one, loneliness. 1 in 6 people worldwide feel lonely. I need to fix that. So isn't it interesting that you can have the world at your hand, right here, and still feel a sense of loneliness? You can be surrounded by 20,000 people and still feel somewhat lonely. There is a hunger we're finding that people want to belong, and maybe that's you. So let me pause and say for a moment that if you're being bullied online, I want to encourage you to share that with someone, your youth leader, your pastor, your mom or dad, your caregiver, someone who can walk with you to a place of health and wholeness. You do not have to live in that alone, and nor do you have to live with it eternally. I know it's a cycle that seems like you can't get out of it. I want you to hear my voice breaking through that and saying something can be different. If you're feeling anxious, if you're feeling like you're depressed, you don't have to walk that alone. There are people who love you and care for you in your faith communities who want to support you in that time. And if you feel lonely, these same people want to assure you that you are seen, that you are heard, that you matter. Seek out that help. I know it's a big step to take, especially when you're a freshman or sophomore or junior or senior, whatever you are in high school or getting there, but it will be one that will be freeing, especially in the context of knowing that there's a God who loves you in that as well. Take a look at this. Social media, does it help or hurt? Again, my goal today is not to give you some kind of formula to say, oh, social media is terrible, but I do want you to at least know what people are saying about it. 45% of teens say they spend too much time on social media. That is coming from teens themselves, not their parents. Interesting self-awareness, right? There's a positive side. 74% feel more connected to friends. 63% say it gives them a space to be creative. 34% use social media to learn about mental health, right? You have lots of information before you. I like to share this story that when I was a kid, my father, we had it next to my dad at the dining room table. He had the World Book Encyclopedia. The World Book Encyclopedia came once a year if you had the subscription. And my dad was great because he never read them. But he would point to them and say, those encyclopedias say this, right? We were getting information once a year. You get information every 6 seconds. So do I. But you actually have a greater ability than I do to process that information. That can be good. It can also be tiring. Only 52% of teens feel comfortable talking to parents about their mental health. 80% of parents think their teen is comfortable with doing it. That's a problem. Come to my session, Cracking the Parental Code. We'll discuss how we can talk about that some more. Social media isn't all bad or all good. What matters most is how we use it and who we talk to when we're struggling. This is what we want you to hear today. There is more than just that screen for you. Read this with me. You are not the only one feeling overwhelmed. You're not crazy. You're not weak. You're human. Let's pause for a second. Sometimes, as people of faith, the devil likes to even use our faith to guilt us when we are acting human. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What were the memes that we heard, right? About Peter? Go down the list. All the disciples made mistakes. All of them had challenges. All of them had doubts. All of them had fears. All of the greats in the Bible aren't so great. Oh, there goes my ability to be here next youth gathering. What I mean by that is they were poor, they were human. And sometimes we beat ourselves up for being human. And being human means we rely on the promises of God and the strength that He gives us, that our endurance doesn't come from ourselves, but it comes from God alone. So hear me say this to you. Give yourself a break. And know that you're not alone. Read this with me. God calls us to something better, to interact with each other and all people in a manner that brings Him glory. So, clearly I need typing lessons. So how do we do that? Amidst all the noise of the internet, there is only one you. You matter, and your voice makes a difference. Let me say that again. In fact, look at me for a moment. There's only one you. You are unique, special. God formed you and shaped you to be who you are, and therefore, you matter to God. And by the way, if you matter to God, you matter. And knowing that, I think, gives you the ability to look at your engagement with other people and online with a confidence of knowing that you're loved and knowing that you're cared for by a God who knows your name, who cares about your life, and who walks with you each and every day. And so I want to share with you what I'm calling the engagement model. This is something I think you can do to really have real connections and use it as a monitor for yourself when you're engaged on social media, when you're responding to social media, and when you're engaging people who are like you, right? One of the great things about a youth gathering is we can come together and go, wow, look at all these people who believe in Jesus. But how do you act when you're with a bunch of people who don't? Who criticize you for believing in Jesus? Who mock you online for believing in Jesus? Who bully you for believing in Jesus? What's our response? Culture and society would say, if you make fun of me, what do you do? What does culture say? Make fun of them, right? Culture and society would say, if you hate me, I what? I hate you. Culture and society would say, you know what? You just stick with the people who are like you. And I think we have an opportunity to do something different and something more. So the first one is this. We need to recapture a spirit of rejoicing. Social media doesn't have to be all bad. In fact, I used to tell the people in my church, I long for the days where you just tell me about your cats and the food that you ate at the restaurant you went to. Because most of what I see on social media, frankly, is how horrible everything is, how terrible everything is, or how terrible and horrible someone else is. And I would suggest to you that we as Christians have an opportunity to give voice in the social media sphere and in our own circles, where our very first thought and words are rejoicing. Read this passage with me. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance to never perish, spoil, or fade. Never perish. Never spoil. Never fade. That's you. That's yours. What would happen before we posted something? We remembered this wonderful gift of the living we hope we have for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Before we responded to a post, we remembered that. Before we put a picture up, we remembered that. Before we talked to our parents, we remembered that. Before we engaged our friends, we remembered that. Before we even talked to the people we don't like, we remembered that we have a spirit of rejoicing. And by the way, if God loves you with that everlasting love, you ready for this? He loves them with that everlasting love. So everyone, do me a favor. Think about the worst person you know. We're not going to share it, all right? But think about the worst person you know. And consider this. There's a Savior who died on a cross to redeem their life. And what if your interaction with them wasn't first, I don't like that person. That person gets on my last nerve. I'm so irritated by that person. But rather, there's a child of God. And Lord, how can I love him or her? I wonder how the approach might be different. So first we come with a spirit of rejoicing. By the way, let me just say this. I am convinced. Let's assume there's 1,000 people in this room, because that's clergy counting. There's probably only 150, but 1,000 people in this room. If 150 people more people began engaging life with a spirit of rejoicing, we'd have a transformational effect on the communities we live in. Your schools, your ball fields, your dance studios, be amazing. Next one, engage, read it. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Who's good at that? Raise your hand. Well, thank God there's one. It's like 1.5. There was an up and down, you know, over there too. And a stretch from China. This is hard, isn't it? I would suggest to you that the most powerful engagement we can have as a people is that we listen first. Seek to understand. How many of you would cherish an opportunity for someone in your life that you struggle with to give you the time to simply listen to what you have to say? To hear you out, right? So wouldn't we do well to do the same? That I want to take an opportunity to learn who you are, discover how you live, and then respond in some way. So we'll rejoice, we'll engage. The next word is encourage. There's a lot here. I'll read it for you. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love God, because God is what? Love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved the world, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. You tell me, what's God saying here? Raise your hand. I want to call on you. Yeah. What's God saying here to you? Yeah. Love your neighbor, right? Anything else? I would say that in this, you're also hearing God say that part of who we are as a Christian is loving others. Like, it's an aspect of what we do. And so we encourage other people through the love of Jesus Christ and reminding them of the gospel that is theirs as well as yours. Last one, we serve. Read it for me. You are the light of the world. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. When you rejoice, when you engage, when you encourage, when you serve, you make a difference that is noticed. People see God through you. Have you ever thought about that? That maybe someone's going to know who Jesus Christ is because they met you. And not because you had all the right words to say or posted all the right things on social media, but because you had a spirit of joy in your heart because Jesus is Savior, because you took the time to listen to who they were and learn about them and understand them, and then you encourage them in the love that is yours through Jesus and the love that's theirs through him as well, and then you serve that person as you understood who they were. My guess is, if that's how we engage social media would be changed. That's how we engage the culture around us, it would change as well. So what do we do with it? We leave here today with a new perspective that we have a real opportunity to make a difference in someone's life because a real difference has been made in ours as well. We pray. Gracious God, mighty King, all glory and praise to you, for you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Help us, Lord, to be witnesses of your glory with a spirit of rejoicing. Help us, Lord, to understand the people in our lives by listening. Help us, Lord, to encourage them through the love you poured upon us. Help us, Lord, to serve others through what we post, what we like, and how we engage our neighbors and even our enemies. Bless us, Lord, in the name of Jesus, our Savior and King. Amen.